Gracious and holy God, this morning may the words of my mouth, indeed may the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Over the last several weeks, we've had a number of gatherings during this Imagine What's Ahead campaign. We've looked at stories from each other. We had the cardboard testimonies here at church that told of lives changed. I've had the privilege of attending five different home meetings over the course of the campaign, and at each one we had an opportunity to talk about how lives were changed because of being here at this church. And so from those cardboard testimonies and from those home meetings, just wanted to share a few of those with you of how this church is changing lives. One, support during cancer treatments and illness. We've heard from folks that this church has provided an anchor for them in that. There were those who talked about developing a sense of purpose as someone took the trouble to invite them to come into the fellowship of this church family, and here they found their sense of purpose. We heard about some of the cries of loneliness from some of the people who moved here and came here as new residents in the community, far, far away from family, and only to find this church became their family. We heard stories from people who have gone through just great personal turmoil, from the jailing of family members to emotionally disturbed and even suicidal family members, those that have gone through divorce and death and illness and the loss of everything during Harvey. And they found here an anchor in the people of the church, and they found hope to continue to live their lives with the knowledge that they are not abandoned by God, and they know that for sure because they knew they were not abandoned by the people of this church. We heard the great joy that some folks talked about as they came and then became a member of the choir or a member of the praise team, who worked in drama or in children or youth ministries as they found places to connect and be in ministry with others. They found here a community. A community of people who are dedicated to taking their next steps on the path of discipleship. And people who are looking forward to learning how to live out loud that faith that accepts and welcomes others. So many stories. Your presence, even here this morning, it's not an accident of fate. I believe it is God's Holy Spirit that draws each person to worship. And by the way, you were prayed for before you ever got here, maybe before you got up, depends on how early you get up. You were prayed for this morning by Pastor Joshua and by Heath and by me, that when you came to worship today, that you would hear and that you would receive God's assurance of forgiveness and hope and healing and love. And all of us have a story. Or we're in the process of living out that story right now, of God drawing us into this particular community at this particular time, in this particular context, for our benefit and also for the benefit of our family and our work and our school and our community. As together we are shaped into grown-up Christians who then proceed to shape the world around us as we live out of the knowledge and love of Christ from the inside out. Three questions that author and pastor Adam Hamilton said that every church person ought to be able to articulate. So I'm going to give those to you to let you chew on and ponder those questions. One question is, why do people need Jesus Christ? Why do people need the church, the bigger church? And then why do people need a particular local church? In our case, why do people need Atascocita United Methodist Church? If we look backwards through time and we look at the present and we see the impact that this church has on our community at large, you will see that our footprint of influence is so much greater than those of us who gather here on a Sunday morning. Last Sunday, during the connection service, we had the counselor of the Oaks Elementary, Chrisella Hensley, that was here in worship. And she came because, if you remember back in August, our dynamic dollars, those $1 bills in the offering plate, went to support the Oaks Elementary, as we do each year. And so she had come to receive the gift cards that we give them for her to see that they are used for the benefit of the students. And she received some about $540 in gift cards for that. After the service, Chrisella pulled me aside and said, "This past week, the nurse was talking to me and saying there were some things that she really needed to have for some of the kids who came to her office. And I told her, wait, I am going to our partners at Atascocita United Methodist Church this Sunday because they are giving us a gift." And she couldn't wait to get back and to put some of those gift cards in the hands of the nurse so that she could get some things for the children as that they came to her office. And that's just one of the stories. Indeed, by the power of God at work within us, we are able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. That is Paul's claim in this prayer that he prays for the church. That's been our claim in our Imagine What's Ahead capital campaign to eliminate our debt. And I really want everyone to get to play a part in this campaign. Our mantra has been not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. Because what you are going to, how you're going to participate in this campaign, you know, friends, that's between you and God. Our ministry strategist has said repeatedly at really every meeting that I've been at that we are not going to raise $1.5 million by 150 families of the church each giving $10,000 over the course of the next 3 years. The math works, but the principle doesn't work. Because for some folks who worship here, $10,000 over the course of 3 years, they wouldn't even miss it. It isn't a sacrifice. But for others, $1,000 over 3 years or $750 over 3 years represents an extravagant sacrifice. And so we will raise $1.5 million as every single family that comes to this church prays. Prays about the part that they're going to play. Prays this prayer, continues to praise the prayer, pray the prayer, "Lord, what do you want to do through me?" And then listens to God, to the voice of God as they begin to discern what part God would ask them to play, and then does it. There's those three steps. I was wowed by the number that was given this morning of already in advance of today, in advance of Celebration Sunday, the 47 families plus the Weekday Learning Center that have already given their three-year commitments of this $965,942. Wow. I just want you to imagine what that is going to be once every single family in the church prays and then responds to what you're being asked to do. We will indeed meet, we will exceed our own goal, because through us, God is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And I personally want everyone to have the joy of being able to say, "Look at what we were able to accomplish through God, and I got to be a part of that." During the course of this campaign, some of you met in small groups and had an opportunity to hear sort of the details of the campaign and then, you know, what questions were left unanswered. And so those have been accumulated and passed on to me. And so I've tried to address those person to person as those questions have come to me. But I wanted to just give two or three of the ones that seem to be more repetitive back to you guys this morning. So the first one was, why now? Why now, when those of us that are paying attention know that come February there is a called general conference in the life of the United Methodist Church, which could change the trajectory of what the church might look like in the future, why wouldn't we wait until after we see what happens there? And so my response to that is, when is a good time for a church to pay off its debt and become debt-free? In my years as a United Methodist pastor, I have seen a number of general conferences come and go, I have to say, and I'm sorry to say, but I have to say that one of the things that the general conference is very best at is doing nothing. And that's just the truth. It is really hard to get 865 delegates from around the world to really agree in one direction. I hope they can. I am praying for a way forward. I hope that you are praying that as well, and we'll be doing some prayer initiatives as we get closer to February. But should we wait to do what needs to be done for our local church when the possibility exists that they do nothing, or that they kick the ball down to the General Conference of 2020, or that a decision is made but it doesn't go into effect until 2021 or 2022? Where then becomes the right point to do the right thing in the local congregation? I would say that's now. And then we just pray the serenity prayer a lot, a lot, right? For the serenity to accept the things we cannot change. You know what? Nobody in this church is a delegate to General Conference. We will not have a say at what the delegates decide in February. So serenity, courage to change the things we can. Friends, we do have the opportunity to change something here in this church, and the wisdom to know the difference. The serenity prayer, it's always our friend. Another question is, how is this pledge different from the regular pledge that I make, either the regular pledge to the operating mission and ministry budget, or I've been making these prayers to this thing called mortar to ministry, these debt reduction pledges. How is this different? Well, since the 2015 campaign ended, there have been a number of families that have continued to pledge and to give to debt reduction, and praise God for all of you that have done that, because that has helped us to be in the position we are right now. The debt is much lower than it was just 3 years ago. And so those debt reduction pledges, those will go away. This replaces that. What it doesn't replace is your annual pledge to the operating mission and ministry. This pledge, this commitment to the three-year pledge for the capital campaign, it's over and above. It's critically important that we all really hear that we need to continue to do ministry, and we do that with our operating mission and ministry budget. This is a three-year pledge. You have 3 years to live it out. If you need 4 years, you scratch out and put 4 years on there, but it's a multi-year, so you can plan in a different way. Which ministries are going to benefit from the funds that are freed up? We talk about freeing up $142,000 because that's what we use to service our debt, which is about half principal, half interest. And so a word about that. One is, it doesn't just, that $142,000 doesn't go away immediately, because this is a three-year campaign. And even when all the principal gets pledged and begins to be paid out of that, we still have interest payments. So we'll see a more gradual reduction in what we need to do to service the debt. And so we will see an increased ability in our operating fund to fund ministries and missions. There's not an exact number, but I want to tell you what the leadership has been talking about, and that's kind of a third, a third, a third, very roughly, again, no exact. So about a third for for ministries inside the church to build up and strengthen ongoing ministries that we already have, and ministries we haven't even dreamed of yet, but that are going to be important as we reach the folks inside the church. Another set will go to missions outside the church, because this church is deeply invested in our community and in our world in reaching out to others that need the message of Christ. And so some of it will be spent outside the walls. And then some of it will just be to shore up things like, facilities, so that we begin to make sure that we shore up those reserves so that when an air conditioning unit goes out, like it did at Asbury a couple of weeks ago, that those reserves are there and that we have an adequate amount of reserves to handle not only those kind of facility needs, but also just sort of the natural yearly giving cycle as it waxes and wanes, that we have reserves there so that we have adequate of that. We want to make sure that the funds that we're spending as we have funds that are freed up are in line with our vision. We went through the Vibrant Church Initiative a couple of years ago, and one of the things they said is it's important that we align our resources with our vision. Our vision is to help people take their next step with Jesus on the path of discipleship, to connect, to grow, to go. And we want to be very deliberate when we decide how to spend money, that we are investing in those things that help that to happen. And then how do I participate? I'm very glad you asked that particular question. You got a commitment card in your bulletin. I'm going to invite you to take it out and to look at it right quick. On the back of it is just some numbers. That's really self-explanatory. It's a little chart. On the front of it, you put your family information. Again, that's really self-evident there. At the bottom of that page, just above the signature, it says the total. That's the total 3-year commitment. And then above that is how you expect to be able to give that. And we know that how you give it changes, but that's what those lines above that. I want you to take this. I don't want it back today. I don't want it back at church. I don't want it back at the luncheon. What I want you to do is take it home with you. I want you to continue to pray, Lord, what do you want to do through me? Talk about it in your family. Make plans. See what works for your family. And then return with it on November the 4th. As we celebrate Holy Communion on that day, we will also be bringing forward the cards and consecrating all those as an act of worship. Friends, this is a pivotal time in the life of Atascocita United Methodist Church. Part of the reason for that is we are living in the midst of a great cultural shift away from regular attendance in a church. And yet, we as a church are still obligated to reach our culture with the life-changing and saving message of life through Jesus Christ. The need for the Lord, that hasn't changed. The deep spiritual hunger that people experience for God, that hasn't changed. They may not yet identify that what that hunger is for God. Our obligation to live as the body of Christ in our culture, that hasn't changed either. But as we move into the future, what has changed is that we need to be able to be specific and visionary in thinking about ways to help others connect that deep longing with what Jesus Christ offers, and that we can do that through our church. And so that's going to mean creative ways of reaching out to folks, both with ministries inside, ministries outside, and to be able to do that with no debt over our heads will make us able to respond to that in a much more nimble way. Eliminating our debt allows us to free up those funds so that we can more closely listen to God and align our resources with God's purposes, so that we can more effectively do ministry that changes lives for the better forever. And I would say there is no other place that I would rather invest my resources than in this church at this particular time in this community. I have two precious granddaughters, one who's 2.5, almost 3, one who is just turned 1. I want this church to be strong and relevant for them. For them. I want them to get to receive from the church what I received as somebody who grew up in the church. I want them to know the love and the fellowship and the grace and the forgiveness and the sense of purpose and the ability to live outside themselves as they learn to love God and to love others. Isn't that what you want too? Today is Celebration Sunday. We're celebrating all that God has already done, what God is currently doing and what God will do through God's people at AUMC. We're going to continue celebrating when this service is over with a wonderful meal that's already prepared and waiting for us over in the Yay Opened Life Center. That is wonderful. And I celebrate getting to be your pastor during this wonderful time in the life of Atascocita United Methodist Church, as together we can imagine what's ahead. Let us pray. Gracious God, Lord, how we give you thanks for those who've gone before us in the faith, those who brought us to this place that we are right now. We give you thanks for the community that you have gathered right now, and we give you thanks for those who will follow in our footsteps. May we, O God, leave the church more beautiful, more faithful than the way that we found her. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.